happy that you're here, and we're thankful for your presence. A beautiful day today, a great opportunity to be here in God's presence with his people. Just a couple reminders here. I want to make sure we're all paying attention to and make plans for. Dinner with the Drees, of course, tonight. Last names from I to M. Just come on over when we're done, and we'll feed you. We'll sit around and talk for just a little bit. Also, don't forget our summer series, all of July and August. So Wednesday, we're not meeting on Wednesday, July and August. We're meeting Thursday. And there's a handout out there. Once we get the printer back together, we're going to make some more flyers. We've already handed out a bunch. And you can give them to folks and put it on your fridge and be reminded. We have 8 different speakers. Each week we're going to have a great speaker on a great topic. So make sure that you put that in your plans to be here and support the church through that. So make sure you grab one of those. Let's be mindful, of course, all of those that are sick. We have a lot of folks that are sick right now. We have quite a few traveling. So let's be mindful of them also. All right, this evening, if you would, open your Bibles to Acts, the 15th chapter. We're going to continue here in our sermon series through the book of Acts. And I have to say that, you know, this section here has been challenging to me. I think it's kind of forced me to look at a few things in a different way. It's reconfirmed some of the things that I believe. And I was reminded, of course, of this passage. You see most of it on the screen here. And let me read to you Isaiah chapter 55, beginning of verse 6. "Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are my ways your way, my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." Great passage, but I think sometimes we stop right there and we focus on everything leading up to verse 9. But let me keep going here to verse 11. "For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It will not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it." Now you see God's word here. What we're being reminded of, we're being told, is his word's not going to return to him empty or void. Right? But it's going to accomplish its purpose. It will succeed in its mission. Right? And hopefully that resonates with us. And we believe that, we understand that. You know, the fact that when you read God's word, you're not just reading words on a page, but you're reading the very mind of God. You're reading the very words of God through his word. As a matter of fact, I wanted to remind us of this passage here in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, beginning of verse 10. "But God has revealed them..." He's talking about his wisdom, what he's imparted through the word, if you went back a couple of verses there. "But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit, for his Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except for the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. In other words, an easy way to understand that is, you don't know what I'm thinking unless I communicate it to you in some way. Right? I can write it down. You know, I can speak it. Right? I can communicate it some way. Then you'll know what's in my mind. And we're being told here that we can know the mind of God through His Spirit and what was written down in Scripture. You know, as Christians, the Holy Spirit in God's Word comforts us, guides us, convicts us in righteousness, John 16 and verse 8. And the calling for us, of course, is to keep in step with the Spirit, Galatians 5 and verse 25. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God, Romans 10 and verse 17. You know, knowing these things, the question becomes, am I listening? That's the question. Right? Are you listening? Are we listening? You know, to the seven churches listed in Revelation, each time Jesus concludes with a very similar phrase, it says, "He who has an ear, let him hear. Let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." You know, do you have ears to hear the Spirit of God through His Word? Because if you do, then you can understand this passage here a little better. Hebrews 4 and verse 12. For the Word of God is living, it's powerful, it's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of the soul and the spirit and the joints of the marrow, and is a discerner of thoughts and the intents of the heart. So with all of that in mind, yes, I know we're looking at the book of Acts here, but with all of that in mind, I want us to examine two main points this evening. First, we're going to look at the actual textual account here from Acts chapter 15. And then number two, we're going to look at its application to us today in these two main points here. And of course, in these two main points, I want us to understand that there's certain disputable matters, right, that need to be clarified to the church. Right, and we see here in this, we had a portion of that in the scripture reading. We see there's this confrontation over, you know, what's needed, what's necessary to become a child of God. And, you know, some men tried to apply their standards to God's word, right? Such as, you know, you got to follow the law of Moses, you got to be circumcised to become a Christian. Right? Binding where God is not bound. And understand this, binding where God is not bound is just as bad as loosing where God is not loosed concerning His Word here. So let's begin with our first of two main points here. Let's look at the actual text itself. And here we have an example of Christians, again, trying to bind where God is not bound. Right? Just as bad as trying to loose where God hasn't loosened. You know, and one illustration I heard a long time ago, I think it was one of our instructors at preaching school, I'll paraphrase him. I'll say that when he's talking about the Word of God and Christians and people, how we deal with the Word of God, he said, you know, if you give a dog, you know, you got a dog chained up in the backyard, right? If you give it too much leash, what happens? Well, it gets itself in trouble. It gets all tangled up and it hurts itself. But if you make that too short, that dog's getting angry and he's going to want to bite people. And I always thought that was an interesting way, and it helped me understand this, I think. But I want you to see here Acts chapter 15 and verse 1. All right, so Paul and Barnabas, you go back to the previous chapter on this missionary journey, right? That opens the kingdom of God to all people. Right? People that had not known the message of Jesus. And, you know, they would start with the Jews and they would end up sharing the message with the Gentiles. You know, and of course the Jews thought the Gentiles were heathens, were infidels. These people, the Gentiles, you know, they hadn't grown up knowing the Torah. They hadn't grown up worshiping Jehovah God. You know, their spiritual background was not the law of Moses. Right? You know, their background was idols, you know, worshiping false gods. That was their background. But they turned to Jesus. They received the good news of salvation. Really, that's what that chapter, we read all about that. right? The gospel of Christ broke down the walls of cultural and racial divides, you know, opened up a pathway that had never been opened before, right? And we read in here, you know, it's a path by which all men everywhere can be saved. You know, what Peter echoes in 2 Peter 3 and verse 9. And these pagans, they receive the message of salvation from Paul and Barnabas. They turn away from false worship, right? Begin worshiping in the name of Jesus. So all of this was accomplished in that missionary journey. You know, and you could read also, you know, churches were established, elders were appointed, right? Trials and tribulations, they were told, were a reminder of, you know, the way into the kingdom has a price. All of these things. And if you actually read verses 27 and 28 of the previous chapter, understand this. Now when they had come and gathered the church together, they reported all that God had done with them, and that he opened the door of faith to the Gentiles. So they stayed there a long time with the disciples. Now, right, they're reporting that lost souls responded to the message of Jesus. Right? You know, and people respond to a message of hope, and they began this Christian journey here. But, chapter 15 and verse 1. Now, the Greek word that begins that is the Greek word kai. Some translations have it as and. Some translations have it as but. Right there, if you look at chapter 15 and verse 1. In other words, this word is meant to summarize the events or the statements or the information that was previously given. Isn't that great? These people were turning to Christ. Right? And isn't that wonderful? They responded to the gospel message. But, or and, what do we read in verse 1 here? Verses 27, 28, look at all these great things that are happening. But some people decided to cause some problems. Right, this is an example of those that always find fault in a good work. I'm reading out of the New King James, and it reads, "And certain men came down from Judea and taught the brethren, unless you are circumcised according to the customs of Moses, you cannot be saved." That is a false doctrine. That's not true. So these problem makers here were saying, you know, it's not that Christians can't become or Gentiles can't become Christians. But, you see, the issue is they need to become a Jew first. Then it's okay if they become a Christian. Right? They were binding where God had not bound. You know, they were putting their standards on the truth of God's word concerning salvation. Yes, Gentiles are heathens, you know. We really wish they wouldn't obey the gospel, but they can't. We'll let them. But first, they need to be circumcised according to the law of Moses. And then I guess we'll accept them, right? That's basically what was going on here. You know, they're saying, you know, you can claim Jesus as your Savior, right, and understand a ceremonial washing called baptism. You know, okay, great. But the real children of God are those who are Jews first. Now, here's what we need to really focus in on here. Paul he didn't sit quietly. He took action. I want you to read with me verses 2 through 5. Again, this is part of our scripture reading earlier. So verse 2, therefore, right? Everything's going great, all these wonderful things. Chapter 14, but, verse 1, false teachers getting in there saying, no, no, no. Here's what you got to do, which is false. Therefore, what does Paul do? Well, and Barnabas, with Paul at first. We're going to jump to Galatians here and see he had an issue also. When Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension or dispute with them, they determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain others of them should go up to Jerusalem to the apostles and elders about this question. So being sent on their way by the church, they passed through Phoenicia and Samaria, describing the conversion of the Gentiles, and they caused great joy to all the brethren. That's the right response, right? And when they had come to Jerusalem, they were received by the church and the apostles and the elders and reported all the things God had done with them. But some of the sect of the Pharisees who believed rose up, saying, "It is necessary to circumcise them and to command them to keep the law of Moses. So there was no small dispute or dissension or debate among them over this issue. Right? And here, I think a good way of understanding this language is, you know, Paul and at first Barnabas, they're basically up in their face saying, no, you're not teaching truth. Right? They were very direct. They stood their ground. They stood up to false teaching. And beat around the bush. You know, so it goes without saying here, Antioch had a problem, right? And it was decided, of course, that the apostles in Jerusalem and the elders needed to step in and help solve the problem. Now, I'd like you to jump over to Galatians, the second chapter. And this is the exact event that Paul is talking about in Galatians, the second chapter. So if you would, jump over there to Galatians chapter 2, if you have your Bible. And of course, he's talking about defending the gospel. We can't read the whole chapter, but really the chapter begins about defending the gospel. Right? And so let's read beginning in verse 4. And this occurred because of false brethren secretly brought in, who came in by stealth to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage. Right? They're binding where God is not bound. To whom we did not yield submission even for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. But from those who seemed to be something, whatever they were, it makes no difference to me, God shows personal favoritism to no man. For those who seemed to be something added nothing to me. Verse 7, but on the contrary, when they saw that the gospel for the uncircumcised had been committed to me, as the gospel for the circumcised was to Peter. Right. I want you to jump ahead here to verse 11. Again, we don't have time to read this whole chapter. Let's read 11 through 15. Now, when Peter had come to Antioch, I withstood him to his face, because he was to be blamed. For before certain men came from James, he would not eat with the Gentiles. But when they came, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing those who were of the circumcision. And the rest of the Jews who also played the hypocrite with them, so that even Barnabas was carried away with their hypocrisy. But when I saw that they were not straightforward about the truth of the gospel, I said to Peter before them all, if you, being a Jew, live in the manner of Gentiles and not as the Jews, why do you compel Gentiles to live as Jews? We who are Jews by nature and not sinners of the Gentiles. So, you know, Peter and Barnabas, you know, struggle with accepting the Gentiles. Barnabas, right? And, you know, of course, they're you know, treating them differently, especially when the other Jewish Christians came around. Paul is saying hypocrisy, right? A Greek word there means a play actor. Right? So even faithful brethren fall prey here to binding where God is not bound. But in Jerusalem, the matter was resolved. If you go back to Acts chapter 15, it wasn't accepted for a long time that the Gentiles could be saved. Right? But the official word had been given. Peter, then, he's going to give a great defense for the people that he once shunned. And that shows Peter repented. I mean, you got to love Peter, right? He makes mistakes, but he always turns back to God. I think that's why we relate with Peter, relate to him so well. Maybe he repented because Paul stood up to him. Peter, what you're doing is wrong, right? This is wrong. You're playing the hypocrite. This is false teaching. And Peter had that good heart and he responded to that. Because now he's going to go on and defend the Gentiles that he once shunned. If you were to read the remainder here, we might read a little bit on here at the end of the lesson in a moment. And so our last view of Peter in the book of Acts, he's defending the ability of all men to be saved. Anyone can come to Jesus. Right? Not on man's terms, not by the law of Moses. And so Peter reminded them of his time with Cornelius back in Acts chapter 10, and God made it clear that baptism wasn't to be denied to them, although they were Gentiles, right? And salvation was theirs, even though they had not been circumcised. And so Peter argued here that we're saved by the grace of God. We're saved by the grace of God through faith. Remember what faith is. Faith is trust and obedience coming together, We're saved by grace through trust and obedience. And so where does that take us today here? Let's look at our second of two main points. Talk about our application. Now, jump back to Galatians real quick. And read with me beginning at verse 16. So where does this take us today? What do we need to understand in all of this? Let's read verse 16 to the end of the chapter. All right, here's Paul, key verse in the book, I believe. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Christ Jesus that we might be justified by faith. Remember, faith is trust and obedience. So we're justified by trust and obedience coming together. In Christ and not by works of the law. You can't do anything to work your way into heaven. You can't earn it. You don't deserve it. Right? It's not by the law of Moses either. For by the works of the law, no flesh shall be justified. Verse 17, but if, while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners, is Christ therefore a minister of sin? Certainly not. For if I build again those things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. For I through the law died to the law that I might live to God. Now here's a passage we know very well. Now it's going to make a little more sense. I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me in the life which I now live in the flesh. I do what? He says, I live by faith. I live by trust and obedience. In who? In the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not set aside the grace of God, verse 21, for if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died in vain. Now, where does that take you and I today? You start to put this all together here. So God's word had been shared. Remember back in Acts chapter 14, those who are lost in their sin, right? The word of God, same thing today. The word of God shared with the purpose of the word of God is to guide us, to convict us. We read how some push to have everyone follow the teachings of the law of Moses, you know, and they made it a salvation marker, if you would, a litmus test. You know, and they were shut down in that argument by Scripture itself. That's what Paul's doing in Galatians 2. He's using Scripture to combat that false teaching. Great example for us today. Right? Paul withstood them, but he withstood them with Scripture and reason. And we know at least Peter responded to that. It convicted him. Right, I'm in the wrong here. I'm going to fix that. Matter of fact, I'm going to go on and defend the Gentiles' right to become a Christian without the law of Moses. Great application here. You know, God is not the God of the Jews alone, but also the Gentiles. Anyone that's willing to respond to that message of Christ and trust and obedience here. Now, Paul would later point out, of course, there in Galatians. And understand this. Let me just throw this out there. We're still good on time. You know, salvation's not about being a Jew. It's not about being circumcised. It's not about us going to church. You know, you're not saved by going to church, right? Going to church doesn't save you. You go to church because you're saved, right? You're either in a reconciled relationship with God through Christ or not. And if you are and you recognize that and you're thankful for that, nobody's going to stop you from gathering with the church to worship and study and those kind of things. But salvation is not about being a Jew here. It's not about an act. It's not about getting dunked in water. Right? Being baptized, as Paul would later point out here in Galatians chapter 3, 26 and 27, it's about being a son of God, verse 26. It's about putting on Christ in baptism or being clothed with Christ. That's what it's about. And that's based upon your repentance, your change of heart. It's all about a change of life. You know, submitting to the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus in immersion. Right? That saves you through the grace of God. Your faith in Jesus, you know, is that pledge of a good conscience toward God. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 21. You know, you're responding to God through obedience, responding to that call. Regardless of your background, regardless of who you are, right? And you're willing to live faithfully according to the standards that God has given. You know, that saves you. right? Ephesians 2 and verses 8 and 9. Right? For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Right? We start to see the bigger picture here. You know, I think there's many people, they got baptized just in the sense of being dipped in the water. Right? And they were led down a road that baptism was just to join a church or a denomination or to confirm some inward grace or something like that. That's not what we read here. You know, you want a baptism that saves. It's not about circumcision, right? It's about accepting that grace that's offered as a free gift and then live in faith. You know, otherwise, your baptism is nothing more than, you know, what circumcision to the Jew was. You know, just a ritual, an action, a duty, or something like that. And so if anyone seeks to lead you astray, teach you something different, right? Other than a belief that Jesus is the Son of God and a godly repentance causes you to take an action to live according to His new covenant, you know, a confession that proclaims Jesus as the Lord of your life, right? Having that willingness to be immersed in water for the forgiveness of your sins, and then you're being led down a road that's a place you don't want to go. The calling here to become a Jew and follow the Mosaic Law, that was a powerful false teaching, right? So I think we need to understand that there's certain teachings out there that are very powerful, you know, and it is so inviting to follow that teaching. That's why we have this warning here in Galatians chapter 1. And most of us know it really well. I marvel that you are turning away so soon from Him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than that which we've preached to you, let him be accursed. And it's so important he repeats it, right? As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed. Right? One of the most powerful letters written on this subject here of the need to follow Jesus and the true gospel, you know, not the Mosaic Law, not the Old Covenant, right? Adding to or taking away from God's Word, binding or loosing where God has not, you know, it's all equally false. And so let's have this thought here, and we'll finish up the lesson's yours. You know, we're not to place... You know, we're not here to place any burden upon you other than what God placed on all of us. Look at our text again here and just read a little bit. Begin at verse 6. Now the apostles and elders came together to consider this matter. And when there had been much dispute, Peter rose up and said to them, "Men and brethren, you know that a good while ago God chose among us that by my mouth the Gentiles should hear the word of the gospel and believe. So God, who knows the heart, acknowledged them by giving them the Holy Spirit just as he did to us." Now let's talk about Cornelius, Acts chapter 10, right? "Now therefore," in the back of verse 9, "and made no distinction between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith." Faith is trust and obedience. "Now therefore, why do you test God by putting a yoke on the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we are able to bear? But we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved in the same manner as they." I want to read that again. "But we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved in the same manner as they." Be saved through Jesus, walk in the Spirit, live a life worthy of your calling, right? So that in the end, he's going to welcome you home. That's what it's all about. You know, so we got to be careful not to fall for these powerful false teachings. right? And those teachings that try to steal away our freedom in Christ. Remember, it's just as wrong to bind where God is not bound as it is to loose where God is not loosed, right? You know, even within the church, you know, accepting tradition as doctrine, all those kind of things here. You know, stand firm in the truth that sets you free from the law of sin and death. Now the elders and the apostles, so let's finish up here. Just a quick summary of what's going to go on a little further here in the chapter. They did the best they could in the situation. You know, they wrote a letter to these new Christians. They came from the Gentile background, telling them that they welcomed them, verse 22 through about 29. And the people who had come up from Jerusalem were now speaking on behalf of them, you know, encouraged them to live a life that they understood was pure. You know, read this letter here that the elders, the apostles from Jerusalem wrote to these new Christian brethren. It's very refreshing. It's very encouraging. You know, encourage them to live a life that wouldn't lead them back to idolatry. And you know, of course, reminding them of boundaries that would help them live faithfully in Christ. Basically a reminder, hey, God made you. He knows what's good for you, what's bad for you. Right? Don't go beyond the boundaries. Right? Being a Christian calls you to be free from the letter of the law. And in this study here in Acts chapter 15, you know, I believe if you were to sum it up, the teachings for application for us today, being a Christian calls you and I to be free from the letter of the law through grace and, you know, and the legalism of men who call themselves Christian, and frees us from that, and frees us from the lust of the flesh. All of these topics here, and to get us to accept the grace of God and be saved today. This evening, if we can help you walk in the paths of righteousness, understand that it begins with you obeying the gospel. You know, trusting the gospel, obeying the gospel, responding to that gospel call. And in that, we learn in Scripture that you need to be immersed into Christ for the forgiveness of sins. If you haven't done that, that's a call this evening. If you've done that and you've fallen away, you've wandered away, would you come back home? Can we pray with you? Can we pray for you? Do you have a need? Please let somebody know as we stand and as we sing.